As you know, a lot of people would have heard a voice note that was being widely circulated overnight and today, because I know he certainly got some calls about it, alleging a COVID-19 case, and that person alleging as well community spread. And of course, you have the case of the suspected COVID-19 cases on the cruise ship that I believe also made CNN. So I contacted the health minister, Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Bostick, to try to get the details, get to the bottom of those issues, to get clarification on those issues. And here is his response.
There's a voice note being circulated. What's the situation in relation to that voice note? Any truth to it?
There's absolutely no truth to the voice note. I know that very often we have to respond to these kind of mischievous things that go on social media. But I give the assurance, as I have always given, that we have no evidence of any community spread in this country. One, we don't have local transmission at the moment. That is number two. And I receive the results from testing on a daily basis. And there have been no Barbadians who have not traveled who have tested positive for coronavirus. And I would just like to ask all persons who continue to spread malicious rumors to stop doing so, because they're only creating anxiety in the country, and it is causing the staff of the Ministry of Health and Wellness to have to divert their attention away from the serious matters relating to COVID that have to be explaining and reassuring people all the time as to what the situation is. If we have any such occurrences, we will come to the public and we will speak as we have been doing all along. And I really would like for people to have confidence, continue to have confidence. If you have, if you don't, please have confidence in the officials in the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the technical teams that are doing this hard work. They've been doing it well for the last 7 months, and just have confidence. If we have any issues that we are sure we need to report, we will do so. And that is a guarantee that I give to the public of Barbados.
The person to whom we referred apparently is a fairly well-known person, a person known to a lot of people. Do you have an idea how that would have started in relation to that person?
I have heard some things myself as to what is happening here, but the same way I'm asking people not to respond to rumors, at the moment I have to consider the information that has been reported to me as just information, because it has not yet been confirmed. But we will try to dig deep and try to understand exactly what it is, who it is, and then to deal with the situation. But at the moment, I have had some reports, but they are unconfirmed.
The other, obviously, story to be very well, even more widely circulated, relates to a cruise ship that would have left Barbados and then developed what appears to be some suspected COVID-19 cases. What can you tell us about that situation?
What I can say to you is that I can say definitively that the situation, as it's being reported, is correct, and that the cruise ship has requested the assistance of the government of Barbados through the Ministry of Health and Wellness to be able to assist them in dealing with the situation on board the vessel. And we have started that process. We've been conducting some testing for them. There have been some positive cases, one in particular which we have taken to Harrison Point, and the others are being worked on at the moment as to what is going to happen, because the cruise ship also is making some arrangements with their passengers. And I cannot speak for the cruise ship, and I don't want to be able to do that, but I can safely say that we are assisting as we have been doing all the time, and that assistance is being provided through the Best Los Angeles lab doing the testing, and the isolation facility at Harrison Point at this point has one person. And we will continue to assist. We have the capacity to do so. It's not an issue. And there is absolutely no compromise from our perspective in terms of public health compromise in Barbados. So there's nothing at all for Barbadians to be worried about.
A couple of questions. How many people were tested? How many positive tests?
Of yesterday, we would have tested, I believe, 34 persons. when the ship reported, they were we had four persons on board that using the ship's test that they deemed to be positive. And during our testing, we have picked up 6 positive cases totally out of the 30-something, but testing is ongoing.
And those positive cases are where?
No one has been allowed to leave the vessel. The cases that were on board the vessel were isolated on the vessel. And we actually went on board the vessel after midnight, and we did the swabbing of those persons that were presumptive positive cases, and we followed that through with contact tracing with the people on the vessel. That's why we were able to test 34 persons, but all persons are on board the vessel except for one person who needed some medical attention, and we have allowed that person, we've taken that person to Harrison Point to be commenced on the treatment for that person.
Of course, the concern of the public is those people, passengers transit through Barbados to board the ship, and if there was any risk whatsoever to Barbadians. So can you speak to that issue?
There was absolutely no risk to Barbadians. Remember, we would have created a system several months ago to repatriate thousands of passengers and crew members from these vessels, and it was done in a very, I would say, a very comprehensive manner in terms of public health protocols. There were no issues. There are no issues at all with this. Transfers from air to sea. And we would also have done some testing for any of those persons who, for whatever reason, might have been off the vessel, but they were not mingling in Barbados, and there are no issues whatsoever. When that vessel, the vessel departed Barbados having conducted their own test, and then we did some testing for persons as well who we wanted to test, and all of the tests were negative at that point in time. So there's no issue there.
Health Minister Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Bostick, thank you very much.
And thank you, Stetson Babb. So, you see, one of the major problems that we have with COVID is that for all the procedures that you have, people are still slipping through somehow. They get the test, they prove negative on the first, and when you do the second test, they prove positive. And you look at this case here, where these people were tested before they got here, and somehow, by the time they got on this cruise, and they were tested in Barbados as well, so they got 2 tests, didn't turn up positive on the second test, but look what happened here. So it is a setback for the cruise industry for sure, because I know that I saw something from I think one of them indicating that they wanted people to volunteer to actually start taking some tours and that sort of thing. But people are going to be very skeptical about doing that coming out of this kind of scenario. This is down to brass tacks. This person says, I'm happy to hear your opening remarks on the media. I'm glad that one of your very own told you what he did. I am of the same view. I heard what you said about persons not wanting to be interviewed. However, when the opportunity presents itself, the reporters are afraid to ask certain questions. And this also is coming through as a major issue confronting the media, that people are calling news conferences in Barbados, and sometimes it looks as though they have to ask themselves the questions. Now, granted, we've had a certain weakness for quite some years now, but it seems to be getting worse. And there are times, I can tell you, when people who make themselves available for these news conferences appear frustrated by the fact that the questions are not coming. And at the end of the day, where does that leave this country? Shortchanged. The whole question of how we have gotten to this stage within the media is one that troubles many, many people. And, you know, efforts really have to be made overall to see how we can actually improve on this situation. Because what we have here is a climate in which people who are in positions of responsibility can actually manipulate situations to such a degree that it could be disadvantageous to, you know, public information and people understanding where they are and what is happening around them. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning, welcome back.
Morning.
I heard you say that we mean by one you mean. Let me draw to your attention something, because it seemed to me that two prime ministers, one late and one present, seem to have problems with numbers. I remember when they believe out one by one vote had an election. I remember well during the political campaigning, 17 ministers is too many. So we do, you had 11. We talk about too much consultant. We do, you have much more. I'm not impressed.
Well, you know, Mr. P, the issue of the consultants is something that we really don't know exactly how many more or less they got, you know. I know that the Labour Party came to office highly critical of the number of consultants that the Dems had. But to this day, I don't recall the Labour Party revealing to the people of Barbados, nor do I recall the Dems revealing exactly how many consultants they had. And today, I certainly don't know the total number of consultants that the Barbados Labour Party has employed.
And again,
in the interest of, you know, we talk a lot about the need for accountability and transparency and these types of things, but politicians have a way of using words to give you false hope. But when they get to the point of being there and in power, then there's a different approach. So I think that this question perhaps could be better understood and analyzed if we had information. We don't have enough.
It's just a back and forth. It is time enough that people demand and stop begging. It is our money that is paying the people these big salaries. They think the politicians' money, yes, they pay taxes too. But it is our money. In the meantime, I see poor people suffering more and more and more. I am not impressed by the leadership. I am not. As far as I'm concerned, when it comes to talk, nobody cannot outdo the Prime Minister. But I'm not impressed by the way people speak. I'm impressed by what they do. And this Barbados is an old water authority, collectively millions of dollars. You know what we're going to do? You're going to go after them? We're going to burden the people some more, treat the debt by the people, let a person sure stocks or whatever. You write off millions of dollars. As a matter of fact, here, because the finance service over $1 billion. T7, he started counting, he got giddy. And he mentioned that someplace owed over $25 million in fact. What you do, you don't go after them, you go after the people. There is no way that any government who have done any such thing should win any election whatsoever.
Yeah. So, I got you. You have a problem.
Yeah, I have a big problem.
You have a problem because notwithstanding all of the things that you have said, the government has been put to the test in this latest by-election, and they have won. So what are you going to do?
You know what, David? The kind of promises that I heard the new candidate say she's going to do, what it tells me that the outgoing candidate and didn't do much. That's what it tells me. And you know what? In some cases, journalists have to be blamed for a lot of people not being informed. There are rules in state. There's a rule, I can't remember the location, but I can make it my business to go and take pictures and put up on social media too, where the road was paved to a point, then not paved, and then start repaving again.
So you were shocked, but you obviously were shocked by the election result, because you didn't expect that after you had come here on brass tacks and put so many lashes in the government that they would have been able to retain this seat.
Anybody went wrong. So don't
pardon?
Portray that I put lashes at anybody went
wrong. No, maybe no problem. But the point I'm making to you is that in listening to you in recent times, you have been highly critical of the government, and therefore you would have, my question to you is, were you shocked by the result, therefore?
Yes.
Okay.
But in a way, you know something? In a way, glad for you all, because sometimes it can draw strength from a defeat, you know. All he should do now is to monitor the situation. Don't stay away from the people. Don't stay away. Keep doing what you're doing. Because I am going to watch this closely, especially her being a member or leader of a trade union. I heard a caller say that she might even be elevated to a minister. I don't agree whether it was done before. I never did, and I never will. Any union boss having such close ties, well, yes, they've got to talk with them. I don't feel it should be affiliated to the party, whether it's Bobby Morris,
Mr. P, politicians are very fascinating people. You know, they speak from both sides of their mouth. I have been around long enough to go to political meetings and hear people, depending upon which side of the political fence they are on, they are opposed to this thing or that thing or this person being in power and that sort of thing. When it happens to be on their side, they find every conceivable reason why it's justified. But I come back to you. I get the impression that you have developed a view that you are influential enough that when you come on the air and you put lashes in somebody, it makes a difference. You don't think that the St. George North result has proven you wrong?
Well, they proved us wrong, not me.
You agree with my assessment, right?
But you know, no, I don't like the way you word it, though.
So essentially, he says yes. I agree with you.
All right.
Down to brass tacks. Good morning. It's now 10:53. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning.
Yeah. How are you doing, sir?
I'm okay.
Okay. All right. My thing has been dampened. My contributions morning has been dampened on learning about that COVID situation. And I hope that all the assistance is garnered and wrestling this situation to the ground and whatever help can be rendered, be given to Colonel Bostic and all his team. It is unfortunate, but these are things we've got to grapple with going forward with the new norm and this COVID existence. Now, let me preface my comment now. It's political this morning as regarding the victory, the resounding victory of Ms. Toni Moore for the Barbados Labour Party in that St. George North by-election, and congratulations heartily. There's something I want to touch on, though, that is of significance to Barbadians. And yourself, I think you and I would have discussed this over time, if you can recall. I am saying that traditionally, we in Barbados has grown accustomed to the two-party, Barbados, Labour Party, Democrat, Labour Party, interchanging government, opposition, government, one from the other. The situation in Barbados that stands now in respect of this opposition is... like it's nowhere in sight. But when we look at the French parties aren't much. They managed to get 255 votes it is together. Now that is a serious pronouncement as regarding Bishop Adderley through his party there. I think he's kept the Baldess to make 80 votes. The million-dollar question has to be answered. When will Barbados... where do we go from here? When will Barbados get back to the old tradition that we've grown accustomed
What's
to?
That?
As BLP, DLP opposition government and the traditional government opposition as we have grown accustomed to it. When will we get back there? When we look at the analysis of the Democratic Labour Party and everything that has come up from all the commentators, they listen to both of the stations on the election right there. When you hear the pronouncement of the shambles that the Democrats found themselves in, the Democratic Labour Party is nowhere in sight. I mean, the suggestions of how they have to reschedule and come again, I think. I am not here to advise them, and I'm particularly glad that they were beaten, but I'm going to be at my wit's end as to who's going to be this viable opposition as anticipated, and they want to revert to who that will be.
Well, I think, Raul, the really important issue here is, what does Barbados stand to lose or gain from having a weak opposition in the country? What do you see as the consequences of it?
The consequence of not having a proper opposition is if a government, and we've known this over the years, if a government, for argument's sake, should become what we call out of place, the opposition is there to keep them back on track and put them on an even keel. That is not the case here. But persons are still, if you're gauging it off of how the Westminster model is structured, would figure the role of the opposition is to be there as a watchdog and keep a government on its toes.
Look, a lot depends upon the quality of persons that present themselves for political office. The quality of the person and the motivation. What is it that motivates an individual? I'll give you an example of what I think is missing in Barbados at the moment. The government of Barbados has passed a whole set of legislation in this country. The Democratic Labour Party may very well argue that it doesn't get a government subvention because it doesn't have a seat in Parliament, and that trying to finance things is a real struggle, and one can understand that. But they have the use of social media, and in many instances, it doesn't cost that much to use social media to analyze the pieces of legislation that go before Parliament and to help people to understand the implications of it. But they do very, very little of that.
Thank you.
When you operate in that particular way, don't you give the impression that you really don't care? That what really matters are a couple of opportunities to come and grandstand on issues. But when it comes to the actual nitty-gritty of mm-hmm. trying to help the people through the understanding these issues, for all the people that you have in the political party, you mean to tell me they can do nothing? You've got people who are lawyers. You've got people who were past ministers. You've got people who are current lawyers, younger people who are now aspiring to leadership. I see that as a glaring area where there could be of greater assistance to people in the country. As an opposition party, issues of the approach to leadership, whether they need to change the leader or not, that's another matter. That is something for them. They have to appreciate the skills, the mix of skills that they may have in the person who is leading or the people who may be vying for leadership. But as a group, I don't see that happening. And you see, this comes against the backdrop of comments which were made, I believe, by Frondell Stewart at the end of his administration, when I believe there was a reference to the organs of the party and people coming together within the party while they were in office, so that, you know, there could be a greater contribution. I suppose the most obvious aspect of this was the state in which they left the Democratic Labour Party headquarters. These are all part and parcel. They all fit together when you start to talk about commitment Their first commitment has to be to the party to which they belong, you know.